Be turning to Hebrews 11:1. The last two Sunday nights, the title, I think parts 1 and 2, the title was something like, Why Do We Reason Against God's Truth? And it's because we have natural souls, natural minds that God gave us to function in this earth. And it works pretty well as long as you use it here. I mean, you're supposed to, God gave you a logical, reasoning mind that if you're standing at the street corner and you want to cross the street, you look to the left. If you look to the left, the bus is coming. Then your reasoning, you're supposed to pay attention to your reasoning that says, do not step in front of the bus. So as long as you use your reasoning in this natural realm, that's fine. But see, when we start getting into the realm of God, how many of you knows he says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. See, in our natural reasoning, we would come to conclusions that God calls ridiculous. We would say, man can't walk on water. You might want to talk to Peter about that. Jesus for sure walked on it and said, well, that's Jesus. Yeah, but Peter walked on it, and we all know Peter. We relate to Peter, don't we? All right. I said, well, if a man's dead, he's going to stay dead. Huh? What if you talk to Lazarus about that? What if you talk to that girl that Peter raised from the dead after the resurrection? See, what I'm saying is you have to use the natural mind in the natural world the way he intended. But when we're dealing with God, and at this church especially, if you pray and do this message, you're eventually going to start hearing from him. And I always say people have a problem when they first come here. Well, what's your problem? I can't hear God. Sit right here and pray, fast, do the word. Read the word. And 6 months to a year later or so, they come again. I got a bigger problem. Well, what's your problem now? I heard God. You're not going to believe it. Yeah, I probably will. It's going to sound impossible because his ways are higher than our ways. So Hebrews 11:1 is the classic verse on faith. It says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And ever since this morning service, which I'll just do another little promo, if you have not heard the Tim Stemple message from 8:30 this morning, and it's a Holy Ghost message delivered through him, Tim Stemple. You really need to hear that one and study it and take notes and don't let that one get away, okay? But one of the statements he made in there is, if hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. And when that reminds me, he said that one time to me. If you want to read that document, it's in the face-to-face documents at the website, garycarpenter.org. It's in the face-to-face section. You can just scroll down through there. It's called The God of Hope. And that same sentence is in there. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. Now, see, in the context here to the Hebrews, they were going through horrible circumstances. Anyone ever go through horrible circumstances? I have. It can be anything from, I remember when they gave me 6 months to live diagnosis with melanoma cancer. That's pretty bad circumstances. I remember when all three of our daughters were in rebellion at the same time. You know, pray for anyone that has three teenage daughters, okay? And all rebellion. Now, Angie's sitting over there. She always says, I rebelled the least, and that's true. But she did rebel. We're never going to talk about my teenage years. I'm just going to talk about theirs, okay? Anyway. Well, and they keep doing stuff, and the devil is sitting right there. See, I don't care whether it's health problems, whether it's your children problems, whether it's job problems, or the persecution problems, which we haven't suffered much of that like the Hebrews were. They were going through horrible, horrible circumstances, and right in the midst of it, the writer of Hebrews says, now listen. Listen, faith, sometimes all you've got is faith. But faith is the substance of things hoped for. One time God gave me this definition of hope. Here's godly hope. What has been is not what shall be. So to them, you'd say, it's not always going to be like this. And he tells them that a little further down. Come down to verse 6. Without faith, it is impossible to please him, that's God. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now see, at that moment, the circumstances these Hebrews were facing were very bad. And I'm sure the enemy was saying, you're better off before you became a Christian. You just need to go back to the law. Remember how blessed you were under the law? Your parents would love to have you back, and everybody'd quit persecuting you. All you got to do is give up this Jesus, and everything will be fine. But would it? See, there is no first covenant to go back to. The same letter says he taketh away the first that he may establish the second. You can't go back to the law. The law can't save you. They have to believe that even if they persist in their faith, no matter how bad it is now, God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It will not always be like this. And even if they kill you like they did Stephen, well, the worst that happened, you graduate to heaven. And trust me, there's no persecution there. All right? Now, that's kind of extreme. Now, the reason he's bringing that to me today, especially, because calling in the lost, you know, as you can tell, it's not the feel-good service where everybody wants to come, you know. We're contending for a revival, the kind that Jesus said he intends for us to have. I'm going to say again, I thank God for any level of revival that's happening anywhere around the world. I thank God if people are getting saved and people are getting healed. And thank God for anything that's being done. There's some really good ones going on. Hallelujah. I'm glad about that. But to my knowledge, right now, there is still nowhere on planet Earth where I could take Homer Betancourt and know for sure that if I take him to that place and on the way back, where I'd know for sure he's going to receive his sight. But I would if Jesus was running the meeting. If it was one of his on earth still, there'd be no doubt. My friend Homer, he'd come back seeing. Same with Jaime Perez, who's got cerebral palsy, I believe it is. Nowhere on earth I can take him. There's no church, no ministry, no anywhere that I can take Tommy right now and know for sure that Tommy Perez would come back totally healed. I still prophesy the day will come when Tommy Perez will stand behind this pulpit and give his testimony what great things the Lord has done for him. I still believe it. I've been believing it all this time. I'm going to keep on because I'm not going to let the devil steal my hope. Now it is possible to let him steal your hope. Hope. Let's talk about hope. Always remember this. Okay, look, before we leave Hebrews, I want you to see verse 1 again. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen. Well, let me ask you, what if there is no hope? Dave would say it like this. If you don't have any hope, there's nothing in you for faith to give substance to. I don't think it's a coincidence that the Lord has been having Alan teach on discouragement week after week after week after week, because that has been the assault here at the prayer center for at least 5 years. Everything in the world going wrong. If you're going to go by appearances, if you're going to go by appearances, you could get discouraged. What has that got to do with God's promise? See, if you let hope leave you, if there's no hope in you, then there's nothing for faith to give substance to. Now, hope is an image. Hope is not the substance. You've got to understand that. Faith is the substance. But hope is the image that faith gives substance to. Now, the number one lesson we have on that is Romans 4. Go back to Romans 4. Look at Abraham just for a moment. Then we're going to go back and look at hope. And this ties right in with the previous two lessons about arguing against that which God knows is true. When God told Abram, you're going to have a child, was God guessing? Hello. You think he was taking a random shot in the dark? Let's see, dartboard, Abraham's life, funk. Yep, you're going to have a child. You think it was like that? Or does God know ahead of time? God declares the end from the beginning. Isn't that right? See, to God, it's already done. And that's what you got to understand about his word. To God, it's already done. It's already done. But the enemy is sure good at using circumstances to steal our hope. Now, Abraham in Romans 4, this is just, I've taught on this many times. I'm going to go through it quickly tonight because he wants to focus somewhere else. Okay. We'll start in Romans 4, verse 1. What shall we say then that Abraham, our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found? For if Abraham were justified by works, he have whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God. If you underline, you really ought to underline. Abraham believed God. That's where hope starts. I'll just tell you right now, hope comes from God's word. Hope can also come by God speaking to you personally. When I was fighting that cancer and fighting it, it was a battle, and discouragement, I would catch myself planning my own funeral. Isn't that great for a faith man? I wouldn't realize I was doing it. You'd kind of come to yourself, you know, and I'd go, yeah, at my funeral, I want them to sing that song, Daddy's Hands. I like that song. There's always love. And what am I doing? It would come to me. My natural, that step off the bus reasoner that really is not qualified for God. It was just reasoning according to natural logic. It was reasoning against what God knows to be true. And in that case, I got so discouraged one night, I was delivered a truck somewhere, up in Chicago somewhere. And boy, it's like every devil in Chicago was in my room, my motel room that night. And I was getting ready to fly home the next day. And I think the surgery was going to be the day after that. It's been a long time ago. But anyway, I know I was so discouraged, I called Sue. I said, baby, talk to me. I'm telling you, I think every devil in Chicago is in this room right here. Discouragement is heavy. And I keep slipping into funeral mode. And she reminded me of a word that I had, a word of prophecy, way back when Sue and I first got ordained back in 1986. Something that a guy who I didn't know him at the time, but I'd never met him before. But him and his wife had fasted and prayed for days in order to lay hands on us and speak the word of the Lord. And the last line in that prophecy to me is, it is a glorious end I have for you, my son. Sue reminded me of that. She said, do you remember that prophecy? It's a glorious end that I have for you, my son. And it dawned on my lightning quick mind. Dying of melanoma cancer in my early 40s is not a glorious end. Isn't that true? I mean, when she said that, it imparted a different picture to me. I am not dying of this stupid cancer. I'm not doing it. It's a glorious end he has for me. Can you see how sometimes just a rhema word, something God spoke to you directly, something Dave may have said to you, your blueprint, however you got it. Man, you need to have hope. You need to have the image and then have some faith in that image. Well, that painted a different picture in me. And it's like the whole atmosphere in that room changed. I slept like a baby that night. Got up, got on the plane, come back. And as you can see, I didn't die. I'm not in my 40s anymore. I know I look like it, but anyway. Well, let me skip on down here with eight. We're never going to make it if we stay all the way back there. I want to get into hope. So come on down to verse 16, Romans 4:16. See, therefore it is of faith. Now, Abraham's faith is also based on a rhema word from God to him. God told Abram, after him and Sarah had been married a long time, they'd been married for decades, and they never had a child of their own. And God says, now this is a rhema word. This is something God said to him. Now, you guys are going to have a child. In fact, you're going to have a bunch of descendants, you know. I'll show you here in a minute. Now, Abram's reasoner, that part of us that argues with God, could have said, you are aware that we've been married for decades. You are aware we've been practicing and we've had no results for decades. You're aware of that. God says, well, I mean, but that's how the reasoner would approach God. But see, it just says Abraham believed God. Abraham received a different picture. I'm going to show you that picture in a minute. He received a picture that we call hope on the inside of him. And let me tell you this, I'll show you from Scripture in a minute. Hope comes before faith. Hope, God gives you hope before faith comes. And faith is the substance of that hope. Okay? So, verse 16 again, therefore it is of faith that it might be by grace to the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not to that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now here's the promise to Abraham. I have made thee a father of many nations. And when God said that to him, they had no child at all. No child at all. But God says, I have. It's like when they came up to the promised land. They're standing, scorpions, sand, desert, wilderness. They're looking over into the green promised land. They have not yet possessed one square inch of it. And God says, see, I have given you the land. Well, if you're going to see, you're going to use some different eyes than the natural eyes or that reasoner that's on the inside of you. You got to see by faith, based on what God said. Well, he's saying to Abraham, I've already made you a father of many nations. And Abraham's going, in the natural, you'd look around, where? What? Okay, let's keep going. I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God who quickeneth the dead. Now notice, here's calling in the lost. Calleth those things which be not as though they were. That's how God functions. That's why we meet to do this very thing. Now notice, who against hope believed in hope. What? There was no natural hope. All natural hope was gone. Eventually, this kept on going till Abram was about 99 years old, and I think Sarah was about 90. Two dried up old prunes. Looking, I'm only 72. I look in the mirror, it's not a pretty sight. Okay, 92 or 99 and 90? We're going to have a what? Against hope, there was no natural hope. Sarah wasn't even ovulating anymore. There was no egg to fertilize even. And Abraham wasn't such a hot rod anymore either, but that's another. Who against hope, but notice, believed in hope. Well, where did that come from? I have made thee the father of many nations. God made him a promise. There's natural hope, then there's godly hope. Did you know the Bible calls our God the God of hope? Man, he gave us that verse way back when our daughters were in rebellion. All I could see was rebellion. Man, the pictures are running through my mind of them carousing and drinking and doing and all, you know, parents and all of the things. And just, I mean, I had trouble going to sleep sometimes at night until God gave me hope. I'll just show you that one for in case you've got some kids that are giving you trouble. Go to Isaiah 49. That's page 1018 in your Bible. Or it is in mine. And he kept defeating me with the statement, you didn't raise them like this. They know better than this. I have a right to them. They're choosing me, the devil would say. And I didn't know I didn't know how to counter that really. Because we didn't raise them like that. And they did know better. Isaiah 49, verses 24 and 25 says, shall the prey be taken from the mighty? Now notice, or the lawful captive delivered. And that got my attention, because that's what he'd been telling me. He says, I have a right to them. They're choosing me. They are lawful captives. But notice this next verse. Boy, thank God for the but. But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. Now get this. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. I mean, hope come flooding back into us. We had God's word that he was going to contend with that devil. And God himself was going to save our children. I mean, we held on to that like a drowning man hanging on to a life preserver in the ocean. That would, man, we hung on. If that painted the picture, that gave us the hope. But then we disciplined our tongue to only say what God says about our kids. And I mean, we disciplined it hard. We got radical with this. I mean, our kids' lives are at stake. Come on. I ain't got time to be nice to you. I'm fighting for my kids' life. Man, we filled ourselves with, Jesus, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. When you first start confession, it's kind of hard. You're kind of rolling the ball up the hill, you know. But eventually, man, you keep at it. You get full of the word, and it's just what comes out of you. And Sue and I walked the floor and confessed those scriptures. And I mean, it got to the point, said, well, how you kids doing? Our daughters are the handmaidens of the Lord. They prophesy. They cast out devils. They serve the Lord their God with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength. Our children, they live holy lives unto the Lord. They're godly seed. How long you want to stand there is how long we talk to you. And people would go, no, really, really, no, really. I understand all that, but really. I go, really? I didn't care if you liked it. My kids' lives are at stake. And all three of them got saved. The one that rebelled the most, which was Amanda, if she was here, you know it's true. The one that rebelled the most was the first one to go to work for us in the ministry. Over at the ugly building, that's the first place we had the tape machines, and she'd stay over there all day just making tapes in an unair-conditioned building. Glory to God. First one that got saved. Anyway, hallelujah. Amanda, love you. Love all three of them. All three of them eventually worked for us in the ministry, and Andy. Angie is still my amplifier. Glory to God. Hallelujah. All right. So let's get back to Abraham's hope here now. Verse 18, who against hope? I don't care if in the natural. I don't care what the doctor said. I don't care if all hope is gone in the natural. It sure was for Abram, wasn't it? Who against hope believed in hope? Well, his hope came from what God said. That he might become the father of many nations. According to that which was spoken, so shall thy seed be. Let's go look at that. So shall thy seed be. All right, keep your place in Romans. Go over to Genesis, way back, not verse 1, but way back there. Go over to Genesis 15. We'll start in verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram. Notice his name isn't changed yet. It's still Abram. In a vision, saying, fear not, Abram. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. In other words, he didn't have a child of his own, but he's getting older. He's thinking about an heir. Well, maybe this... This steward, maybe he'll be my heir, since I have no physical heir. And Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels, that means your own body, shall be thine heir. Now here it is. You want to see hope? Watch God paint the image of hope on Abraham's heart right here. He brought him forth abroad, took him outside, and he said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. In other words, plain English. Abram, come on out here. In the desert on a starry night. Man, you can't really see stars in Tulsa. You can see a few. You get out in the desert on a clear night, away from towns. It's amazing the stars you can see. And that's had to be what Abram saw. He said, can you count those? And he said unto him, here's the promise. You see those stars? So shall thy seed be. So shall thy seed be. Now God says that right in the face of a lifetime of failure when it comes to producing children. He may tell you something right in the area where you have failed the most. Say, I'm going to do this through you. Right in some area where maybe you have the least confidence of all. You know one of the reasons why? Maybe you won't try and help him. Well, Abraham and Sarah did, you know. Even after this, they tried to help God. Their reasoner got involved, and they come up with an idea of producing Ishmael. They wish they had never done that. Ishmael is still a great, that battle's still going on today between Isaac and Ishmael. Don't help God. Obey God. Big difference. Anyway, can you see? This is the impartation of hope. Without that, Abram has nothing. Abram only has the circumstances, the natural world. We're getting older now. It looks like this guy born in my house is going to be my heir. I've never had a child, and doesn't look like I'm ever going to have a child. Lord, you've given me no seed. And the Lord, through his word, gave Abram a different hope. And it says, go back to Romans 4 now. Hold your place in Genesis. We're going back. This is what it means in verse 18. Who against hope believed in hope that he might become the father of many nations according to that which was spoken. We just looked at it. So shall thy seed be. Now Abraham now had a vision. He had something on the inside of him to see instead of an empty crib. He says, I'm sure he went and told Sarah. Sarah, we're going to have... Come here, Sarah. Come outside. I want to show you what God showed me. Sarah, can you see those stars? Yeah. We're going to have children that number like the stars of heaven. We're not told Sarah's response. Anyway. Hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I'm going to say it again. If hope cannot see, faith cannot bring. But it says, I didn't read the verse. Go back. See, I hope you kept it. Go back to Genesis 15. Because it says, in verse 5, it says, and he brought him forth abroad, said, look now toward heaven and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. Look at the next verse. And he, that's Abraham, believed. He, Abraham, believed in the Lord. And he counted it to him for righteousness. Abraham, in his heart, says, okay, I don't care that my whole life has been a failure when it comes to producing children. I don't care that my wife and I have a 100% track record of failure for decades. Lord, if you say that my seed is going to number like that, then I believe it. Well, there's your start. There's your start right there, okay? Keep your place as we're going back. Romans 5. So shall thy seed be, verse 19. Being not weak in faith. Now here's how you do it. He considered not his own body now dead. In plain English, Abram was not such a hot rod anymore. Okay? Sarah said, shall I have pleasure from my husband again? There's volumes right there. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. The woman was, she was past the time of the way of women, is how the King James puts it nicely. There wasn't even, you talk about no hope. The reasoner, why do we reason against that which God knows to be true? God knew what he was talking about when he was talking to Abraham. And Abraham is called the friend of God because he overrode his natural reasoner that said this is impossible. It said, God, if you tell me that's the way it's going to be, I believe that's the way it's going to be. And being not weak in faith, he chose. You choose not to look at the circumstances. You don't say they don't exist, but you've got something higher. Here we go again. Truth changes fact. It's a fact that Abram's body was dead at that point. It was a fact that Sarah wasn't not ovulating at that point. But thy word is truth, and truth changes fact. See? So he says, well, I got to believe something. I either going to believe that we can't have a child, or I'm going to believe what God said, that we can have a child. I'm going to believe what God said. I went through the same thing. Doctor said, we don't think you have 6 months to live, Gary. Son, he didn't know my name. We don't think you have 6 months to live. Now, I could believe that and focus on that, and I kind of was. My reasoner kept defaulting there. Till Sue said, you remember what God said? It's a glorious end he has for you. Glory to God. Man, my shoulders squared up, and I went, yeah, that's right. That's right. I'm not going to die of cancer in my early 40s. That's not a glorious end. Glory to God. It gave me hope. Okay, back to this. Being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body now dead. There's your fact. When he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb, another fact. But see, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. All right, go back to Genesis 15. We just now saw where hope came. Now let's look where faith came, because faith is different. God had Abram chew, if you'll allow me, meditate on hope for a long time. But you go over to chapter 17, because faith has a voice. Hope has a picture. But faith has a voice. Faith speaks on this wise. And look at this lesson. This is why we do calling in the lost right here. This is why we school people on calling those things which be not as though they were, right here, what we're about to see. Because hope alone is not enough. It doesn't say hope is the substance. It says faith is the substance of things hoped for. Well, how do I go from hope to faith? Well, I'm glad you asked me. Genesis 17, here's how you do it. Here's exactly how you do it. So when Abram was 90 years old and 9, say 99. Say not a pretty picture. Say all natural hope is gone. Okay, when Abram was 90 years old and 9, now he still got the hope. Remember? Revelation knowledge, chapter 15 comes before chapter 17. So he's had the hope for two chapters. Okay. He's had the hope for a long time. He's had the vision, okay? But the Lord comes to Abram and said unto him, I'm the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and will multiply thee exceedingly. There it is again. I will multiply thee exceedingly. That's talking about children. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Here he's saying it again. Thou shalt be a father of many nations. Now here is where you step into faith. Here's where faith begins to appropriate. Verse 5. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. Now see, in the English, that doesn't help us a whole lot. We go, well, great. You're no longer Fred, now you're George. I mean, but in the Hebrew language, the word Abraham means I am the father of a multitude. I am the father. It doesn't say I will be. I am the father of a multitude. For a father of many nations have I made thee. He also changes Sarah's name to Sarai, or Sarah, from Sarai to Sarah, which means princess. Where do kings come from? They come from the princess, don't they, eventually? All right, the heir. All right. So he changed both of their names. So let's just stick with Abram for a minute. We read that, we take it too lightly. Now Abram, if you read, he was a wealthy, wealthy man. When he went to war against those five kings to rescue his nephew Lot, the army that he took was over 300 of his hired servants. The man's got some coin. What I mean is he's well respected. He is somebody that everyone knows. And this man of repute, this man that wealth and over 300, how many servants do you have? I mean, okay, let's get the picture. This man that everyone knows is not crazy. Next time you meet him after this encounter, say, "Hey, Abram, how you been, man? Good to see you, Abram." And he says, "Well, I got something to tell you." "Well, good. What is it?" "From this day forward, you can't call me Abram anymore. From this day forward, you call me Abraham. I am the father of many, many nations. I am the father of a multitude." When I tell this story, sometimes I tell about them going on a camel journey to visit their uncle that lives 4 sand dunes over. And they get over there, and the uncle sees them coming. Says, "Hey, there's Abram coming and his wife." And Abram tells him, says, "No, I'm not Abram anymore. I'm Abraham. I am," which means "I am the father of a multitude." And can't you just see the uncle looking around behind him? "They got any kids on that camel? Did I not get the invitation to the baby shower? What? I don't see any kids. What are you talking about?" And then you know the question's going to come. "Abram, who told you that you're the father of a multitude?" Here it comes. "God told me." And then he got that look that you get from your relatives. Okay. Gospel entrepreneur, are you? Whatever he's called you to do. Evangelist, are you? Uh-huh. Whatever it is God said to you. Lighthouse, are you? Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. They're going to look at you like you've gone off the rails too, see. But Abram, he literally, when God changed his name, he didn't keep that a secret. He told everybody. He literally changed his name. Now for us, what does God want you changing your name? No, he wants you to change who you are. You are his child. You are blessed of God. Right now I feel like bringing out the 1 John confessions. I am a child of light. I walk as a child of light. I no longer walk in darkness. As he is, so am I in this world. I love not the world, neither the things in the world. I serve God and I serve him alone. On and on and on you could go. I keep myself, and the wicked one touches me not. I like that one. I like all of them. See, that's what he's trying to get us to do. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now, specifically, we could take this in regard, if you were contending for health, get a vision, get hope, and then change what you say. If you're fighting for your children, from God's word, get the vision, get hope, and then change what you say. That's how it works, and it'll always work that way. I don't care what it is. Health, finances, peace, kids, whatever it is. You get hope from God's word, then you change what you say. You call things which be not as though they were, and trusting that what God has promised, he is well able to perform, and you'll have it every single time. But now in the context that we're after revival. And I heard him say quickly tonight, we're going to go through these 5 meetings again. Because the enemy wants you looking at anything except where we're going. I'm going to give you the image of hope again for the kind of revival. Because Jesus said, "The works that I do shall you do also, and greater, not lesser, greater than these shall you do." We're going to look at 5 meetings, all in the book of Matthew, so you know we're not repeating meetings from different gospels like Mark and Luke's account of the same one. You ought to write these down, the references at least, so you can go over them again. This is your vision for revival. This is our hope right here. All right, the first one is Matthew 4:24. 23 and 24. Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. What kind of sickness? All kinds of sickness. What kind of diseases? All of them. And his fame went throughout all Syria, and they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers, that means various diseases and torments. Now get this, those that were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them. Them who? He healed them all. Now Jesus is your starry night. These verses we're looking at, this is your starry night. This is what we've got to get a picture of. The meetings we are going to have are going to have the same exact results as these. Jesus didn't come not for us to get a vision. He came for us to get the vision. And he expects us to have the same kind of meetings now that he had then. That's exactly what he said. The works that I do shall you do also, and greater than these shall you do. Okay, so that's the first one. The second one is Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. And when the evening was come, and they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. And this is many, not a few. He said they brought many unto him. I don't know how long that meeting lasted. All right, let's look at the next one. Matthew 12:15. I just kept these in, just the ones in Matthew, so you know we weren't duplicating the same meeting. 12:15. All right. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. Now notice, great multitudes followed him. Usually when you find, you remember when he fed the multitudes, the loaves and the fishes? Same thing. There may have been 4,000. Great, when it says great multitudes, there might have been 4,000, 5,000, 6,000, who knows? Might have been 10,000. And notice, and it plainly tells you here, and he healed them all. Wow. What if I'd have had Homer Betancourt there? Would he come home healed? What if I had Tommy Perez there? Would he come home healed? What about all those children in St. Jude's Hospital? Every single one of them, we'd bring back home. Glory to God. This is your starry night. This is your, have faith. Let your faith bring substance to this. This is the vision. This is the mission of the prayer center. All right, the next one. Matthew 14:14. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. A great multitude. No telling how many thousands there were. How many would be healed if we had everybody in Tulsa? Just advertise a meeting out here in the field. Could be way too many to get in a building anywhere. And what if Jesus healed them all through us? I think we're in revival. I think they'll listen to what you say. Okay. And then one more in Matthew, and that's Matthew 15:30. Verse 29, and then Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into a mountain and sat down there. Here we go again. Great multitudes came unto him. Man, I've tried to meditate this, what that picture must have looked like. Having with them those that were lame. Can you see them helping them? They can't walk. They're carrying them, or they got them on stretchers or something. Those that were lame, they were lead the blind. Can you just see him leading? I can see my friend Homer leading Homer there, the blind. The dumb means they couldn't talk. Maimed. They're missing something. A leg, an arm, an eye, an ear, something. maimed. Something's been cut off. Something's gone. And many others, everything in the world in that many others, and cast them down at Jesus' feet. I love these next four words. And he healed them. People, this is your starry night. Where faith is the substance of things hoped for. If hope can't see, faith cannot bring. Meditate these. Get them. Go to these meetings. Do you know what I mean by that? I have been to these meetings. I have been there in my... They become like movies to me. I could direct this movie and I can see them. I've been in the meetings and I've seen them bring the people and I've seen Jesus heal them. And that same Christ lives in us. And he wants to do the same thing through us right now. He says in John 14 again, he says, whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. Well, we've got to believe that. I will do it. This is your starry night. Don't let the reasoner in you be looking at empty chairs. Don't let the reasoner in you be looking at any circumstances at all. Don't be looking at anything except this. We stagger not at the promise of God, but we're strong in faith, believing what God has promised. He is able also to perform. You agree with me? Amen, Father. In Jesus' name, you will have your revival, and it will look the same now as it did then. In Jesus' name, you found a group that just has no quitting sense. In Jesus' name, amen.